That's Grant McCauley's music. He normally joins us at 12:20, but he's going to join us right now because at 12:20 today, Brent Key, the head coach of the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets football team, is going to join us, talk about their win last weekend over Florida State, look ahead to this weekend's game against Georgia State as well. But Grant joins us. He is the host of From the Diamond every weekend here on the radio station, our Braves insider, and as always, brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Get a guaranteed offer from Mark Spain Real Estate at 855-299-SOLD. Grant, how are you?
Back.
Doing well, guys. How are you?
Doing well. Obviously enjoying this this run of play for the Braves. And there's obviously a lot of credit to go around some of the new guys and Snit and everything like that. But like when you look at what they've done in the last couple of weeks, where do you kind of point first and second with handing out credit?
Yeah, I mean, I got to point at the pitching staff first because I feel like that's a group that just continues to deliver. I mean, every night's not going to be perfect. Every inning out of the bullpen, every start is not going to be, you know, just absolute shutout ball from, you know, wire to wire. But overall, I mean, this is a group that has kept this team in the game and given them a chance to win on a consistent basis. So if you're looking for one place to point at the Braves' success in 2024, it has to be the pitching staff, really. Starting staff has come together extremely well lately, and I think the bullpen's been doing a lot of great work for this club for a while.
Hey, Grant, I know, you know, with guys going down, some of your better players, guys have had to step in and everything like that, and this guy, Whit Merrifield, has been playing really well, Grant. And we do anticipate Ozzie coming back at some time. What do you do with a player that's been contributing when Ozzie gets back?
I think you just kind of look for ways to keep him involved. I don't know what that's going to look like, but clearly we understand what Ozzie Albies means to this team, who he is and what he's done. And with Merrifield, this was kind of an opportunity that he wasn't going to get anywhere else. I mean, quite frankly, the Philadelphia Phillies did not have a use for him. Whit himself said, I mean, I talked to him a few weeks ago, like there were a couple of clubs that he was even willing to answer the phone for this season. I think he was really kind of just in that headspace where, hey, I mean, I've got a five-month-old at home in North Carolina. Maybe I just go home and be dad for a little while, and he's got time to kind of figure out what he wants to do in 2025 and beyond. But that was kind of the situation, the headspace that he was in at that point. So the fact that the Braves called, I mean, the injury to Ozzie Albies was ill-timed. There's never a good time for an injury, but it did create that opening, that vacancy that aligned with him being on the market. And that's kind of been what's worked out for the Braves, whether it was him, whether it was Gio Urshela more recently, and to kind of a different extent, Ramon Laureano. He was signed right after Ronald Acuna Jr. got hurt, didn't get the immediate playing time, but by being in the organization and continuing to swing the bat well, he's worked himself into a pretty important role for the Braves here lately. So I think I say all that to say you just find ways to keep guys as involved as you can. But clearly, getting this club back to as close to full health as you possibly can, and Ozzie Albies being a big part of that, is something the Braves are eagerly anticipating at whatever point next month that it does happen.
I saw a graphic on the broadcast last night that had Laureano and Merrifield as two of the players that have switched teams this year, and their batting averages are the most improved since switching teams. Like, they're both over 100 points higher with the Braves than they were on the team previous. And I think the guy on the mound tonight, Chris Sale, is probably the best example of Alex Anthopoulos being a wizard still. But, like, those guys being picked up mid-year and being able to do that is just another credit to him too, right?
Yeah, and I know Alex, I mean, there was a lot of focus on the trade deadline and was he going to be able to pull off, you know, this deal and that deal and another deal, and did he do enough at the trade deadline? And as it turned out, he actually kind of did, but it was not just beholden to what he did as far as those trades. The acquisition of Merrifield at the time they got him, adding Ramon Laureano to the organization at that time, and then just I don't even know what you call it. I mean, serendipity is probably not the word for it, because when you lose Austin Riley, there's nothing serendipitous about that. But the fact the Tigers were just kind of going in a different direction and said, we're going to cut Gio Urshela loose, let him find a club. It was, as I talked about him from the diamond, that's professional courtesy to him, just to say, hey, you got 3 or 4 weeks to catch on somewhere else, get some playing time, and maybe get to October, which is somewhere the Tigers are not going to be. So it all just kind of worked out at that time. But I do think this front office has tried to be as proactive as it can. That doesn't mean that deals are going to appear out of thin air, and it doesn't mean that they're locked out of doing perhaps bigger, better trades at different times. They certainly have, but it didn't all ride on the trade deadline, I guess is what I'm saying, and that is kind of the mark of a good GM, just continuing to try to find ways to make your club better where you can, when you can.
Hey, Grant, I saw yesterday Mike, I think he was batting six yesterday. Do you see this as something where Snick just keeps it like this, or he continuously tries to tinker with this lineup a little bit?
I think for those of us who are into the physical media, you hit shuffle and just see what comes out of it. I mean, he doesn't have a 25 disc changer anymore. He's got more of like an 8 disc changer. And right now, I think he's just hitting that shuffle button and seeing what it sounds like every night. That literally is kind of what he's had to work with. When you got no Ronald Acuña Jr., you got no Austin Riley, no Ozzie Albies, and the different guys going through it at different times, I feel like Jorge Soler needs to be in one of those top two spots. After that, I think you know who's going to be third and fourth, but fifth, sixth, even leadoff spot right now, Whit Merrifield, I mean, 5 hits one night, 0 for 6 the next night. Baseball is just kind of unkind like that, but I think Merrifield's done a great job getting on base. He's got that speed dynamic. Why not try him at the leadoff spot? Let Michael Harris get comfortable and see what he can do, because he can produce runs for you. He can set the table for you, big picture, but he did miss a lot of time. So maybe right now this spot in the order is kind of better for him to be kind of in the middle of things rather than feeling the pressure of, okay, I've got to set the table for this lineup.
I bet Snit had, and maybe still has, a top-notch 8-track collection.
Top.
Because he had a mustache, you know.
He's been around for a few decades, so he's gone through all the different types of physical media. It went from the 8-track, it went to the cassette, the CD.
But, like, the 8-track was when he first, like, got some money. Like, that's what he's, like, managing, playing all that. Like, he probably spent a lot of money on 8-tracks, and he was like, to hell with it, I'm keeping them.
You got the White Album on, like, 4 different 8-tracks.
Exactly, exactly. Grant McCauley joins us on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy to talk some Braves. Spencer Schwellenbach, good last night, got his pitch count up a little bit, and that's a credit to Minnesota, but he still was good.
Yes.
Do you think that, you know, obviously the Braves have to make it there, but the Braves get in the playoffs, Spencer Schwellenbach make a playoff start?
I'm really intrigued to see, you know, how this all goes over that next month. But I mean, if you're asking me today here right now, I mean, if the playoffs started today, it would be a pretty compelling case for him. I mean, Chris Sale's going to get a start. Max Fried's going to get a start. Ronaldo Lopez will. If you're in a short series, I think those are the three that you're focused on right now. Okay. Then the decision between, in a bigger series, is it the rookie who's been pitching so well or the veteran with the best postseason resume of anybody on the team? Does that mean anything at this point, or should we be a little more pragmatic and look at who's been getting it done lately? Now, Charlie's been fine over the past, what, 3 starts? I mean, he's been more than fine, but there has been a lot of Jekyll and Hyde in his game. But Schwellenbach, as we saw last night, I mean, even with pretty good stuff, but not the command of all his secondaries, was able to work his way through that lineup and throw scoreless ball for 4 2/3 innings. Would have loved to see him, you know, get that fifth, get that win, all that other stuff, if that was, you know, part of the equation. Obviously, it went to extras. But this is a guy that has to be in the Braves' plans, you know, going down the stretch. When they get to October, I am fascinated to see. But I'd also point this out, which may be the best thing of all. The fact that the Braves actually have options to have a discussion going into October would be one of the best things to happen in any of the last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah,
I know, Grant, I know he's not a burner, but is Soler 100% from that hammy?
I think he's as close as he can be. I mean, okay. Is anybody 100% after, right, you know, day one of spring training? I don't know. But he wouldn't be out there and going through it if he didn't feel like he was comfortable enough playing on that leg. So speed's not part of his game. Right. The on-base skills, though, will certainly track for him. And I think that he remains one of the better options for finding his way on base maybe a couple or more times a night.
Right.
He's got to have one of the best eyes in baseball. Like, that guy just, he seems like he gets 1 or 2 walks every single night. What do you think was going through Snit's mind when he saw Kelnick breaking for home last night on that ground ball in the 10th?
Hope he makes it.
Yep.
and he did.
Better be,
you know,
right.
He did. I thought it was an aggressive play, and it probably was more so to make up for,
yes,
if he had it to do over again on the double. I think he would have maybe been a little more aggressive there. And that also can trickle down to Matt Tuiasosopo, who, I get it, you don't want to run into an out at the plate. I can understand it. So it's not a condemnation of either one. But I think if Marcell Ozuna, and I know the ball's in front of him and he hit it, and, you know, the danger for him is, hey, they catch it, I'm out, I go back to the dugout. But he had to make it to second on that play. I was just surprised that Jared Kelnick didn't score. But it was a good read. The throw wasn't particularly good. I think he caught the Twins maybe a little flat-footed. Mm-hmm. And he's got great speed. Yep. And that gives you the dynamic to do something like that.
Hey, Grant, you're around this team a lot. And we were talking about Soler yesterday. Is he like a guy in the locker room that likes to kid around? Because everything else about him is just so stoic. Is he a guy that, I don't want to say pull practical jokes, but like get a good chuckle out of him?
No, he looks like a pretty straight-laced business guy in there. I mean, I think he has good interactions with the teammates around. I mean, it was fun watching him eat Oreos in the dugout the other day because you don't see that too often.
Right.
So, I mean, he's got personality, but it's just not one of those larger than life, you know, or Marcell Ozuna, for example. I mean, he's got so much going on, it seems like, all the time, that it's one of the things that I think endears him to his teammates as well, is that when it comes down to getting the big hit and knowing the situation, he can do all that. And when it comes down to having fun, keeping things loose, and maintaining a good camaraderie in that clubhouse, Marcell's extremely good at that as well. But Soler, especially coming back in to a group that, yeah, you've played here before, but it's a different team, I think he's done a nice job of just kind of incorporating himself, but he's not the loudest guy in the room.
Grant, we appreciate it.
Appreciate it, G-Mac.
Thanks, guys. Have a great one.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.